Genocide, the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying that nation or group. Now, if you have eyes and you can see, tell me that's not what's happening on the Gaza Strip right now. And I'm going to talk about it right after I talk about the Memphis Mayor Paul Young talking to gang leaders. God. Coming out this podcast, just a man doing the best he can with what he got. Keep my eye on my home city, because man, oh boy, it's it is stuff going on here. As you've heard in previous podcasts, Memphis has a high crime rate. Once again, not running for that. We all know that. There has been plans and implemented to try to bring the crime down. And all that rests squarely upon the city council led by Chairman J.B. Smiley, the chief of police, C.J. Davis, and the mayor, Paul Young. Now, I've talked about all those entities, but the mayor, Paul Young, and like, the jury is still out on Paul Young. I'm just going to be honest. I'm still right in the middle of, I don't know what to think about the guy yet. But there was a story that came out this week about Memphis Mayor Paul Young meeting with gang members in the Mid-South in efforts to reduce crime. Now, I'm going to let you listen to what the mayor said before I comment and critique. So I think it's good. It's only like a 3-minute segment. I'm gonna let you hear the whole new segment and what the mayor said. Then I come back and comment on it and tell you what I think about this. And for that new segment, we're gonna keep it local, baby. Action News 5, WMC. Let's get it.
Mayor Paul Young met face-to-face with the city's highest-ranking gang leaders, asking them for a ceasefire. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joy Redmond.
I'm Joe Birch. The gang leaders agreed to put down their guns and stop the killing if certain conditions were met. Action News 5's Joyce Peterson joins us live now with the gang's demands in order for there to be peace in the land. Joyce?
Yeah, pretty stunning revelation tonight from the mayor. He talked about his meeting with Memphis gang leaders during a panel discussion tonight on youth workforce development. The mayor said gang members told him they want good paying jobs and the education needed to get those jobs.
Get them in a room and just let me talk to them.
During a youth workforce development discussion at the Community Foundation of Greater Memphis Monday night, a crime-fighting confession from the city's new mayor. 2 weeks ago, Mayor Young met face-to-face with Memphis's top gang leaders.
And my ask for them in that conversation was, can we get a 7-day ceasefire? Just 7 days, where there's no shooting, no killing. And they said, yeah, we would be willing to do that. And they gave me a couple of caveats.
Mayor Young said the gangs wanted assurances their enemies would agree to the ceasefire.
The other thing they said was, well, you know, our young guys, they need money. They need money in their pockets. That's the way you can change it.
Gang members said Young want good jobs and the upskilling needed to get them. This group celebrating JP Morgan Chase donating more than $272,000 to the Collective Blueprint, a nonprofit that helps unemployed young people find a successful career path. Greater Memphis has more than 45,000 young adults ages 16 to 24 who are either out of school or out of work. Nearly half of those young adults are in poverty. Gang leaders also telling Mayor Young,
we don't have programs at our community centers. We don't have things to do, so we go out, we steal cars, and we ride around with our friends.
Mayor Young said a Chicago study found a 45% reduction in violent crime arrests for young adults who received a job or internship. And that is what the mayor envisions for Memphis's youth, including its toughest young gang members.
I never would imagine that the mayor would be talking to us directly. If you come to our hood, if you come over there and ask them to put the guns down, they will do it. Because they never seen anybody like you in their community talking directly to them.
Now, real talk, guys, but I'm being honest, they played a switcheroo on us. This news segment really should have been over workforce development for the youth of Memphis. That's the real story here, but they got you with the good old, if it bleeds, it leads. Why wasn't this segment done about the need for youth development? That should have been the lead. Youth development and getting jobs for the youth. That should have been the story. They put that in the back end, but to get you sucked in, they talked about gang demands. I want y'all to just notice that. That was a trick they pulled on you. Like, did you hear the homie Joe Birch in the beginning with the inflection in his voice? And they agreed. Let me run it back for you guys. One second.
I'm Joe Birch. The gang leaders agreed to put down their guns.
Like, Joe can't believe that somebody would agree to put down their gun that was in a gang. Like, because that's all gang members want to do is just shoot.
Gang leaders agreed to put down their guns.
Like, they agreed. Like, oh, there's so much wrong with this story, man. It shows so much. Like, I don't run from my past, but I don't talk about my past. I generally don't. But I'm letting you know I have a level of expertise when it comes to gang life. Like, if things would have shook up a little bit differently, guys, I wouldn't be this guy talking to you on the podcast who went to Japan and did movies. Like, seriously, by a fraction, like, dead a fraction, bro, I'm here right now. So I'm just saying that to let y'all know I have a level of understanding about gang culture, especially gang culture in Memphis. With that being said, do you guys know being in a gang is not illegal? Not illegal, guys. Not illegal. You can join a gang, any gang you want. Not illegal. And let's just be honest. When we say gang, that is a de facto word for black. That has what it become. Like, in America, when you say gang, you kind of mean black. It's a dog whistle word for black, right? And for those of y'all who don't believe me, think about it. When have you heard the Aryan Nation being called a gang? They're a hate group, not a gang. When have you ever heard the Hells Angels referred to as a gang? In the mainstream zeitgeist, right? When have you ever heard that? When have you heard of the IRA? Or the triad, or the Yakuza for that matter, being referred to as a gang? The answer is you have not, because we reserve that word for black, right? And with that comes a negative connotation that we don't even do for like white gangs and gangs of other descents. We don't do that, right? Being in a gang is illegal. It's the activity you do. Just like these militia groups who have all these stockpiles of guns, not illegal. They can have them. And would you ask any of those citizens in those groups to give up their guns? Guns ain't the problem, it's the activity. Everybody is pro 2A until you talk about black folks in black groups having guns, right? That's how you got gun regulation the first time, the Black Panthers. I got stopped multiple times by the police for doing nothing. I had nothing on me, wasn't doing anything, but still got stopped by the police for suspected criminal activity. So if you're going to suspect me of being in the gang, why don't I just join? Dead ass. Like, seriously. But black gang members ain't out here trying to die. There's a thin line between social groups and how people get along. Like, if your neighborhood is basically the gang you're in. So if there's Bloods in your neighborhood, guess what you are? 9 out of 10, you Bloods. And in most cases, dude, it's the older, quote unquote, gang members that are poisoning the young people's mind and having them go out here and do dumb shit. So I get why you would want to talk to them. But my thing is, they shouldn't be in the equation anyway. What Mayor Paul Young did was kind of just short-sighted. Like, I don't mind what he did, but how he did it was stupid, man. As the mayor, you cannot go to gang leaders and talk to them about ending crime. That's not their job, man. It's not on the gang leaders to end crime. And plus, all studies indicate if you have economic opportunity and jobs and value and public transportation, situations get better, right? It's a lack of city resources being funneled into these areas that are fostering crime. This also shows a fundamental misunderstanding of how black gangs work, especially gangs in the Mid-South. Like, look, I ain't gonna go into too much of it, dog, but black gangs don't have a typical hierarchy where somebody's on top, right? They don't. Like, it's basically broke up in sets, and sets are in neighborhoods, and sometimes within the same gangs, different sets battle against each other. That's what happens in a lot of black gangs. It's not like the IRA or the Triad or the Yakuza, where there's a whole structured organization and everybody falls under a certain kumi and it's a whole lot. Nah, dog. Like, it's just a basic breakdown. And then basically the set you in is what you rep. And that set is typically your neighborhood or streets. Matter of fact, I've known sets on different streets, same gangs, that done beef with each other. So you talking to the gang leaders, in my opinion, about stopping and having a ceasefire, kind of short-sighted, bro. And you didn't need to be the person to do that. You guys sending representatives out there, buddy. Like, I heard you. I get what you said. But you're like, oh, man, that shows that somebody cares because you're out there. I hear you, dog. But let's be honest. Once you go meet a gang leader, you kind of de facto elevate them to your level. You make that gang member now feel a little bit more important than he is. Plus, if we're being honest, you look like a square because the gang members told you what we already know. Like, this is my thing, man. We have denied basic needs and opportunities to black people for so damn long. To the point now we're pretending like this is innovative. No, this is done by design. The hoods were made because economic opportunity and jobs were stripped away systemically, bro. Like, look at how we fund our public school systems in America. You don't need a gang leader to tell you this stuff. You should already know this. So I know it's kind of weird to make a reposition to, like, the gang members had demands. Like, this is not demands. This is what we should be doing anyway. It shouldn't take a gang leader to tell you, hey, man, black folks need money. Black folks are living in poverty in Memphis. You need gang members to tell you that? You don't. You need to be focusing on making plans. And this is the real tragedy of this story. The lead got buried. The lead is the collective blueprint helping the youth in Memphis. And if you guys don't know, the collective blueprint is a nonprofit organization. It helps unemployed youths in Memphis find jobs. And that's what we need to be highlighting. That's what the story should have really been about. A moment of transparency here. I've signed up for the Collective Blueprint to volunteer my time to help any way I can. Because that's what you need, bro. We try to pretend like black people need something that every other groups in America don't need. Like, we need some kind of special attention. And to be honest, we do need special attention because special attention was made on us to keep us down. So we do need special attention, but it all boils down to the basic needs that all Americans have. You need a good education, high-paying jobs, and you need skills that are in demand right now so you can get those high-paying jobs. And so often what you see for black people is just more police. Like, that's always the answer to keep black people in line. We're going to give more law enforcement. And once again, I am pro-police, guys. But that's only one leg of the stool. You can't police yourself out of poverty, right? And we know money will get crime down. The collective blueprint are out here teaching people how to code. IT skills, man, getting them tech jobs. That's what we need to do. Like, the world is going more tech, more AI. You need to have jobs here, man. Like, that and more tech schools is what you need in Memphis. And that can bring people out of poverty. Because I don't care if you're in a gang. The activity come in because gang people are trying to make money, bro. Like, there it is. If you see a group of five guys, which, you know the saying in Memphis, if it's a group of more than three black guys, it's a gang, which is dumb as fuck. But that point aside, you see five black guys hanging out. That shouldn't be cause of alarm. Five black guys hanging out who ain't got no money and trying to think of ways to get money and feel like there ain't no other opportunities given to them. That's what you don't want, man. That's what you don't want. But once again, you can't just look at them when they're adults and have no opportunities. You got to look at these folks when they're kids, man. And look, you're not going to program your way out of crime. You are not, guys. Like, these after-school programs ain't going to work if the kids ain't going to school. Dead ass. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make it so that these parents can be more involved, or force these parents to be more involved in their kids' life. You're going to have to give accountability to the parents. You're going to find these folks. If their kids do something dumb, that's attached to you too, right? You're also going to have to start getting these guys flex hours at these jobs so they can get out around 3 o'clock and see their goddamn kids. Think about it like this, man. The dumbest thing ever is leaving a preteen alone from the time of 2:30 to 6, or to 6:30 when the parent gets home. That's a lot of time, bro. How do you mitigate this? Well, in Japan, they do have after-school programs. But here, after-school programs cost money. So let the parents get off. Like, look, you need to force companies. I ain't going to say force. Give incentives for companies in the Mid-South to let parents work from like 7:30 to 3 o'clock. That'll make it a lot better, because now parents can watch their kids. And if they don't, and your kid do something stupid, guess what? We're going to find your ass. That's a good way to reduce crime in Memphis right there. But pretending like, man, they want some money, it's something innovative, it's stupid. Everybody needs money, bruh. Like, you didn't have to talk to gang members for that. You really didn't. I mean, in context, this is what you want. You want youth workforce development. And that's what this story should have been on. It should have been on, like, man, how do we get more opportunity to the youth? Because that's my story, man. My story is that of finding an opportunity and taking it. My opportunity was the U.S. Army. Got into the U.S. Army National Guard. That gave me somewhere to hide out for a while. When I came back, I'm going to be honest, because I was in the same area, I got back into gang life. I did, because I was in that area. And I had no money. Like, I had my little drill checks coming in once a month, but that was like $250 a month. And then maybe like $2,000 in the summertime, but that wasn't nothing. I still had to find a job because I had mouths to feed. I'm sorry, a mouth to feed. I had multiple kids, just one. But I had a mouth to feed. So once again, this is why I credit my older brother for saving my life, because he came in and saw me looking at how I was going to make money. And I was one step from making that phone call and getting that work pushed in. Like, he'll tell you, I was one step, like, okay, had the plug ready and everything. Until he came to me and said, hey, man, don't you get the GI Bill? I was like, yeah, I do. And he was like, hey, man, why don't you just come to school? Go to college. Your drill check is taking care of child support. That way, you use GI Bill, you have somewhere to stay, go to school, and chill until you figure out what you want to do. Like, school was a hustle for me, guys, until I went in there and found out, like, oh, boy, I can do this. Like, I'll talk about that later, but, like, yo, I was hiding out. Like, I did so good in school because I couldn't go back. I ain't had nothing to go back to. But that's what I'm saying, man. You got to give these folks opportunities. If the opportunities ain't there for them, then you will never see change. And let's just be honest. I'm just going to be honest. Like, look, if you give the opportunity, there's still going to be a certain set of people who fuck up. That's going to happen. Your job is trying to mitigate that number of fuck ups. That's what you want to do. Kids are always going to mess up, and some people just ain't going to be successful no matter what you do. But you can't tell me anybody living in the Memphis area or any of these urban areas. I'm going to include like inner city Chicago, Baltimore, Memphis, LA, Watts, Compton. Come on, bruh. It's the same pattern. We know what's going on. Let's stop tripping. Mayor Paul Young, I get what you're trying to do, dog. Just not the right way to do it. Also, before you do that, I hope you talk to your police officers too, man. Because you've been alienating another set of people, dog. These folks out here trying to reduce crime, and you talk to gang members. I hope you talk to them too. Like, I hope you did. But I ain't gonna lie, I got some inside track that you didn't. And that ain't good. But that's what I think about this, man. Now let's talk about genocide. The okie doke is being pulled on us, and I see it happen periodically when the okie doke happens, and I think I need to point out the okie doke. And the okie doke is happening with us when it comes to Israel and Palestine. We're going by the old white is right, and if they brown, take them down. This is what we're doing, man. We're literally siding with Israel because of Western imperialism. I hate to say it. No, I don't hate to say it. It's just the truth. That's what we're doing. You're being told to side with Israel because Hamas is bad. And I say white imperialism because you would not let that shit slide in America. If I said, hey, man, the KKK is bad and every white person has to answer for the KKK, you would be like, hey, Marcus, that's unfair. You shouldn't be conflating all white folks with the KKK. Yet and still, you would do that with Hamas and all the Palestinians. Now, some of you right now will say, well, hey, Hamas is the government in that area, so that means you attack Hamas, not the civilians. Right? If not, that's called war crimes. If you just targeted civilians. And from all indications, it looks like they're targeting civilians in hospitals and colleges under the guise of saying Hamas is there. If I was like, hey, man, the neo-Nazis in the Aryan Nation are super duper bad here in America, white people answer for that. You'd be like, that ain't on me to answer for that. Yet and still, you want the Palestinians to answer for Hamas. Unfair standard. It's the okie doke. It's a blanket reason to kill these people. Hamas is bad. If Hamas was so damn bad, why was the prime minister of Israel giving them money? That's the question you got to ask. Why was Benjamin Netanyahu giving Hamas money? All the arguments being used now, Hamas is corrupt, they're evil, and you was giving them money. Why? You should answer for that. I need to know why you was giving them money. To what end? Also, who else were you giving money? Were you trying to destabilize the region? Were you trying to keep chaos in there and foment that and be an agent of chaos? So Hamas used the money that Israel gave them to pull off an attack on them? Money that Israel got from the United States of America? So shouldn't we be asking questions? In real talk, this is what is infuriating to Black Americans. And I said this in the previous podcast, that you can tell me that Jewish people had atrocious things done to them. And they are a minority who need to be protected, a minority group. But they also enjoy the privileges of being white. So in America, our Jewish brothers and sisters are identified as white. And most of them identify as white. I read that in a Pew report. 90% of all Jews in America identify as white. So we've given Israel over $300 billion. But I, as a Black American who had atrocious things done to my people too, nothing. Nothing. Like, here's the thing, right? Most Holocaust survivors are dead now. Like, maybe like one or two if you're lucky, but most Holocaust survivors are dead. I want you to apply the same logics of Israel getting all that money to why they say Black folks can't get reparations. Because the argument for giving Black folks money and propping us up is, oh man, too much time passed. Nobody was around then. You can't hold nobody accountable for all that stuff that happened back in the day. But why are we still giving Israel money? Atrocious things happened to the Jews, and we kicked people out of their land, gave the Jews their own country because of anti-Semitism in part, but we gave the Jews their own land and then gave them money because those atrocious things happened to them. However, black people in America couldn't get 40 acres and a mule or anything to help them get economic standing in America in particular. But we giving Israel $300 billion. Make it make sense. Like that ass, it's not looking good, guys. And the okie doke is happening right now. And nobody's saying anything because if you say something, well, you got to be pro-Israel defending itself. What? Anti-Semitism is not anti-Semitic to ask questions. Dude, this looks murky as hell. None of this makes sense. Before this hostage situation, right? As tragic as it is, take that hostage situation out of it. Before this hostage situation, Israel was taking land and occupied land. They were taking away land from Palestinians and putting Israeli people there. It's been a concerted effort to take away Palestinian land. What that has to do with Hamas? Nothing. It's wrong, bro. Like, I liken this to at the end of the Civil War when black people were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule. But instead of getting 40 acres and a mule, the government actually took over 400,000 acres away from black people and gave it back to Confederate soldiers, gave them folks reparations, but didn't give black folks reparations. And this is the same thing that's happening now to the Palestinians to a lesser extent. Like, there's a history there. War happened, blah, blah, blah. Israel's supposed to get half. The Palestinians supposed to get half. Okay, I put it like this. And this is, somebody, if I get this wrong, let me know. But this is the history, basically, guys. This is the history of Israel and Palestine. All right. So let's say we got 100 acres of land. I'm living on 100 acres of land. And you come in and be like, yo, man, technically half of this land is mine. Because, I don't know, 50 years ago, my daddy had this land and it wasn't technically sold to you. So I'd be like, okay, you know what? No, you can't have this land. Then we get in a fight. You beat my ass and take half the land. Bet. But then after you beat my ass and take half the land, you control everything I do on my land because I lost to you in that fight. Then on top of that, periodically, you come take a little bit more of my land. So it was 50-50 land. Now you got 60. I got 40. But then you see something over there that you like in my land again. And so now it's like, I don't know, 65-35, you know? You keep on inching away. Not to mention, now you're telling me what I can do on my land, how I can do it. And then if I have neighbors on the other side, you tell me to talk to them folks. That's basically Israel and Palestine's history right there in a nutshell. Beef happened. Now Israel is basically in control of all of that area. Nothing can get into Gaza without Israel's blessing. Folks are dying right now. Palestinians are dying, being starved to death. And the Israeli government answer is Hamas.
Hamas. We got chicken with Hamas.
The Israeli government wouldn't even let America airdrop food to them. What they gotta do, bro? Like, if you're fighting Hamas, why are you taking it out on the civilians? Dead ass. And this has gotta be a question that Americans ask. Because all this is being done with your American dollars. American dollars, y'all won't give the reparations, but y'all gladly give to a foreign nation to kill brown people. Because that's what's happening. There is a concerted effort to make you think what you're looking at and what you're seeing with your own eyes isn't what you're seeing. What you're seeing is a genocide. That's why I read the definition out in the beginning of the podcast. What you're seeing is genocide in the Gaza Strip, perpetrated by the Israeli government. Not Jews, but the Israeli government. That cannot be seen as anti-Semitic by pointing that out. And the okey-doke as I see it, and this is the ultimate okey-doke, don't fall for this. The indiscriminate deaths that is being perpetrated by the Israelis to the civilians in the Gaza Strip has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. Nothing whatsoever. You cannot be anti-Semitic by pointing out the indiscriminate killing that's happening in the Gaza Strip. And they're trying to conflate that with Hamas. Hamas is the blanket term now used to justify anything happening in the Gaza Strip. And that's something that we do all the time. We fall for it, man. It was the same way with Al-Qaeda. Anything that sounds scary. Well, now we got to do indiscriminate killing because, hey, we got to get Hamas. A government that hasn't been recognized by the Palestinian people for damn near 20 years. It's a faux government. 20 years ago, them folks got elected and they just took over power. Much like I feel Benjamin Netanyahu is doing right now. So shout out to Chuck Schumer for saying, hey man, you need to get the hell out of the way, Benjamin. Because I truly agree with that. And don't let these folks tell you what to think, man. All these famous folks, Bill Maher and everybody. Look, man, ask questions. Get the answers. Believe what you're seeing. Because this, my friends, is a genocide. Now let's talk about Candace Owens getting fired. All right, so let's talk about Candace Owens being fired by Ben Shapiro. So here's the thing. These folks like to position themselves as being some kind of free speech absolutists. And, oh, we're a bastion for free speech. Free speech is what we're about. Until somebody says something to offend them. And then retribution has to be quick. Like, seriously, the Daily Wire can slander LGBTQ folks. It can slander black people. It can slander Muslims. But as soon as you say something about Jewish people, we can't do that. It's so funny. I thought you was a free speech absolutist, Ben. And here's the thing, right? I honestly think she should have been fired for what she said. But the problem I have with the Daily Wire is y'all not consistent, bro. Like, dead ass, y'all not consistent. Candace Owens been spreading misinformation and BS along with Walsh. Spreading misinformation about gay people and trans people and all this transphobic rhetoric. But as soon as it offends you, now you're about moderation. Like, these folks try to have it both ways, dude. Like, I keep telling y'all, they rile you up and give you these impossible standards. And then when they face with the same thing, they flop. So, let me ask, did Ben Shapiro cancel Candace Owens? Why is this not a bigger thing, guys? Like, dead ass. I'm going to read a little bit of the CNN story. And I'm just going to chime in on parts I think that are pertinent. The Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. An executive from the Daily Wire said, Owens confirmed the news on her post, writing, "The rumors are true. I'm finally free." Owens, a popular commentary notorious for promoting misinformation and conspiracy theories on a wide range of topics from vaccines to immigrants, joined the Daily Wire in 2021. The online outlet has stood by her over the years despite her penchant for trafficking in extremist and dishonest rhetoric. But since the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel, Owens has repeatedly waded into anti-Semitic waters as she fiercely criticized Israel, suggesting that the Jewish government is committing genocide in the Gaza and claiming that there is a small, sinister ring of Jewish people in Hollywood and Washington, D.C. involved in something quite sinister. And here's the thing, man. In the previous section, I told you, asking questions of the Israeli government cannot be seen as anti-Semitic. However, these remarks that Candace Owens made about the sinister little Jewish cabal and everything were anti-Semitic. My problem is, why did the Daily Wire don't have problems with her spreading misinformation about vaccines, black people, homophobia, Islamophobia? You're not consistent. Once again, if you're going to be this free speech beacon, when the criticism comes to your doorstep, you're going to have to take it too. Much like the homie Elon Musk, who's all for absolute free speech until you say something about him. And he's like, nope, we got to shut that down. Cowards, man. just cowards, dude. Y'all just fall for this crap. I tell you, man. Anyway, In November, Shapiro, who is Jewish, called out Owens for her disgraceful rhetoric, blasting her faux sophistication on the topics. The same faux sophistication that she has on other topics, man. Like, wait, this is Ben Shapiro's get down. This is how Ben Shapiro does it. He builds up straw men and then tears it down. Your whole news outlet is built on faux sophistication. That's how y'all push y'all rhetoric. But now you're going to get on to her about it? This is hilarious. Useful idiots. This really pisses me off as a black person because I see this done all the damn time. Like, when there's a certain section of white people who think some, like, dumb stuff and need some black person to hold water for them, they use that black person to death until they say something that's, like, they disagree with, and then they get rid of them. They did it with Stacey Dash. They did it with Herschel Walker. And now they're doing it with Candace Owens. That's one thing. That is the Faustian bargain you make. It's one of these black people. Now, there are black conservatives, like well-known black conservatives. Larry Elders, Michael Steele. I disagree with them, but they don't dance soft shoe, right? There is the certain set of black people that dance soft shoe for the white man and then get surprised when they get cut off like this. Now, I'm just being honest. Maybe this is not a conversation we should have in mixed company, but every black person knows what I'm talking about, man. That one black person being extra. Because when you talk about that, oh man, yeah, all black folks are liberal. Bullshit. If you want to be honest, most black people are small C conservatives. It's just, once again, you get one black person like Candace Owens to be like, hey, systemic racism doesn't exist. And that cancels out the thousands of black people and black scholars that you have saying, hey man, systemic racism is the problem. And thousands of white scholars too to say systemic racism is the problem. You get that one black person who's not even educated in the whole realm, like Candace Owens, to say some shit with her faux sophistication, and that gives a level of credibility to the bunk ass movement. Once again, not a problem until Ben Shapiro gets the criticism at his front door. But let me continue with the story. Without directly naming Shapiro, Owens responded, one cannot serve both God and money. A brazen dig at the Daily Wire's co-founder that was drenched in the age-old anti-Semitic trope. At the time, Shapiro hit back, Candace, if you feel that taking money from the Daily Wire somehow comes between you and God, by all means, quit. Owens then attacked Shapiro in an interview with Tucker Carlson, the right-wing extremist who was fired last year from Fox News. In recent days, Owens has continued to generate more controversy, linking a post on X in which a user accused a rabbi of being drunk on Christian blood. That was a weird one too, man, because the only thing she did was say, yeah, I don't get why somebody visible in the public eye would even post on somebody's Twitter or reply. Like, you get nothing out of that. While Owens will no longer have a home at the Daily Wire, she still maintains a large platform. Her extremist commentary has catapulted her to fame in right-wing circles as she boasts millions of followers across her various social media accounts. In September, she was suspended from YouTube for her anti-LGBTQ commentary after violating the platform's rules on hate speech. And here's the thing about Candace Owens. Candace Owens knows she's an idiot. Deadass. Candace Owens is very aware of the fact that she doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. So that's why she trafficked in conspiracy theory, pop culture, and innuendo. Right? It's much like the homie Rush Limbaugh used to do. She's basically the black woman version of Rush Limbaugh. She has no facts. That's kind of unfair to Rush. Rush had facts and Rush stood on something. Candace Owens don't stand on anything, dog. She really doesn't. At all. She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. But she'll present it in this pseudo-educational way to make people think she knows what she's talking about. And she does it. But the real takeaway I want you guys to have from this whole situation is all these folks been telling you about free speech absolutism and how free speech is dying in the dark. are all bullshitting you. It's all bunk. It's all trash. They can't even follow their own rules. You see it time and time again, man. These folks will tell you this stuff just to get you worked up, but in real life application, it doesn't work. The game gotta have rules. Words matter, people. You can say whatever you want to say, but as long as you can take the consequences behind it, cool. There has to be consequences for it. So I'm not mad at the Daily Wire for firing Candace Owens for what she said. I'm just mad that you're not firing other people for what they're saying. You gotta be consistent. Think about this. Candace Owens wasn't fired for wearing the White Lives Matter shirt with no anti-Semite Kanye West. Not a problem until now. Like, y'all knew her get down. Why y'all acting surprised now? Like, dead ass. White Lives Matter, okay, but you can't say nothing. That's a Common Knowledge Podcast, updated weekly. You guys be safe, and yo, share the podcast. Suggest it to a friend. I would like to see my numbers grow again. So if y'all could do that for me, I greatly appreciate it. Peace.